To South Africa now, where Nelson Mandela remains in hospital, a 95-year-old former president still classified as critically ill. 2 decades ago, as South Africa's president, Nelson Mandela promised the nation's resources wealth would lift the majority out of poverty, that there would be freedom, there would be jobs and houses for all. 2 decades on, however, unemployment is high, and still around 18 million people live on less than $2 a day. The ANC government is accused of corruption, and the Marikana mine massacre, which took place a year ago this week, echoed apartheid's worst abuses. Tonight's Four Corners looks at how the promises and the hopes of the 90s are really not being realised in today's South Africa. And reporter Matthew Carney joins me in the breakfast studio. Matthew, hello.
Good morning.
Has the promise of a better future become a reality for most South Africans, for many South Africans, for any South Africans?
For the poor black majority, which is what liberation was aimed for, no. I mean, 1 in 2 of the youth are out of work. You've got 18 million people living on less than $2 a day. And the core promises of what Nelson Mandela, you know, fought for so hard in decades, the ANC, which was homes for all, education, really hasn't materialised for, as I say, for the poor black majority. And obviously that's a problem here, because if you've got a disenfranchised, angry poor black majority, the stability and indeed the legacy of Mandela will be challenged.
I think the prevailing image of South Africa these days, from all of us who haven't been there, is that it is no longer a place of widespread oppression. Okay, there still might be poverty, it still might be difficult, but it's not a land of oppression.
Politically, yes, I think because politically, you know, that's the perception we have. People are free. But the message that I was hearing time and time again when you're there is that in terms of economically, people haven't been liberated. And on top of that, also what you have, which is what we explore in tonight's program, is you're looking at its 1 year anniversary of the Marikana massacre. That was an event that really turned the populace and of course the miners against the ANC. I mean, here you had, you know, a black ANC government opening fire on its own people. And it's really sort of been, a critical turning point in the nation.
Can you just remind us a little more of the Marikana mine protest? It happened a year ago. As you say, black police opened fire on the protesters. What was it, the essence of that?
Look, the essence of it was the minutiae is that it was an inter sort of rivalry between unions, but the essence was about wages. And what happened there on the 16th of August last year is mainly black police opened fire on a group of 3,000 protesting miners who are working at one of the biggest platinum mines in the world. It's not gold anymore, it's platinum that really powers South Africa's economy. Opened fire. They killed 34 miners in front of the cameras. It was phenomenal. There was fight, you know, rarely these days you have a massacre in front of cameras. But what happened behind the scenes, which has come out and you see in tonight's program, is that most of those people were taken to a smaller hill, and literally the allegations are is that they were killed in cold blood.
There's one startling account in your program tonight. One miner was shot and wounded. He lived to tell the tale, but he was shot and wounded. Then he was shot 6 more times.
Yeah, that's his allegation. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And this was from a black policeman from his own tribe who was looking at him, and he's telling this story. It's incredibly chilling. As he's looking at him, he's going, why are you still alive? You don't deserve to have 12,500 rand, which is what they were wanting, and then pumped him full of 7 bullets while he was doing it.
Is that the premise of what this violence is really about? Because you talk of black apartheid, of blacks not wanting other blacks to prosper.
That's right. I mean, that's what the people feel there. And I guess, look, the bigger lesson in terms of Marikana for the nation is that the economic, and going back to what I said earlier, the economic liberalisation, if you like, in terms of that South Africa did have the wealth, and mainly mining wealth, to benefit for all, has not happened. So it signifies a failure of what's called black economic empowerment, which was a deal that the ANC and the union struck with business, mainly white business. Was that we would keep labour stable and we would keep it cheap, relatively cheap, in return for some ownership on the boards of these massive companies, Goldfields, Lonmin, etc. And what's happened in reality is that a tiny majority have benefited from that. The workers, which again I say is what the liberation was meant to benefit, have not. So you have people like Cyril Ramaphosa, who's the deputy president, and Tokyo Sekwale, who we interview in tonight's program, who literally have got billions of dollars from this, and these miners are still struggling to get a basic wage.
It's 10 minutes to 7 on Breakfast. We're speaking with Four Corners reporter Matthew Carney about his report tonight, Four Corners Cry Freedom, Mandela's Legacy. Matt, what we're also getting from your report tonight is that there is a real sense that the ANC has failed and will not be able to succeed. We're going to hear now from one of the South Africans you spoke to for tonight's program, Pabalo Tokiso, photographer and beneficiary of a positive discrimination program.
I don't see good education system. I don't see better health system. I don't see anything new that's coming up that's positive. And I think we either need change of leadership in the ANC, or we need a new party that can take the country into a different direction, because I don't think where we are at the moment, the ruling party can handle the mess that's happening.
That's Pabalo Tokiso. How prominent is that view that perhaps they need a new party? The ANC has failed, complete loss of hope in the ANC, and any sense of momentum for change?
In the youth, it's quite widespread, which surprised me. They feel, you know, these people are known as the Freedom Generation. They didn't grow up, obviously, under apartheid. We're meant to be the beneficiaries of the new freedoms and opportunities. Now, they just feel that the ANC hasn't delivered. One, because economic policies haven't come up, but secondly, because of their economic conditions aren't there, so they just haven't been delivered. So, what do they feel? They feel disenfranchised because there are alternatives politically, like the Democratic Alliance, but they're seen as white parties, and this is centre-left party in South Africa. There's new political parties coming up, but they just haven't got the traction. So essentially, and as I said before, you've got a vast youth black majority, which is the majority in the country now, which are angry and disenfranchised, which is the problem for the country.
So such hope from Mandela, but it turns out 20 years perhaps isn't very long at all. Matthew Carney, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Matthew Carney and his report on Four Corners tonight, Cry Freedom, Mandela's Legacy, and 8:30, of course, tonight on ABC1. It's 8 minutes to 7.